Hi, everybody. Today we're going to continue our study of the book of Judges. Today's passage is found in Judges chapter 11. We'll be reading verses 1 through 28. So once again, this is Judges chapter 11 and verses 1 through 28. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior, but he was a son of a prostitute. Gilead was the father of Jephthah, and Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall not have an inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. And worthless fellows collected around Jephthah and went out with him. After a time, the Ammonites made war against Israel. And when the Ammonites made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to bring Jephthah from the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, "Come and be our leader, that we may fight against the Ammonites." But Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "Did you not hate me and drive me out of my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "That is why we have turned to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the Ammonites and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "If you bring me home again to fight against the Ammonites and the Lord gives them over to me, I will be your head." And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord will be witness between us if we do not do as you say." So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and leader over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord at Mizpah. Then Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the Ammonites and said, "What do you have against me that you have come to me to fight against my land?" And the king of the Ammonites answered the messengers of Jephthah, "Because Israel on coming up from Egypt took away my land from the Arnon to the Jabbok and to the Jordan. Now therefore restore it peaceably." Jephthah again sent messengers to the king of the Ammonites and said to him, "Thus says Jephthah, Israel did not take away the land of Moab or the land of the Ammonites. But when they came up from Egypt, Israel went through the wilderness to the Red Sea and came to Kadesh. Israel then sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, 'Please let us pass through your land.' But the king of Edom would not listen. And they sent also to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained at Kadesh. Then they journeyed through the wilderness and went around the land of Edom and the land of Moab and arrived on the east side of the land of Moab and camped on the other side of the Arnon. But they did not enter the territory of Moab, for the Arnon was the boundary of Moab. Israel then sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, king of Heshbon, and Israel said to him, 'Please let us pass through your land to our country.' But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together and encamped at Jahaz and fought with Israel. And the Lord, the God of Israel, gave Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them. So Israel took possession of all the land of the Amorites who inhabited that country. And they took possession of all the territory of the Amorites, from the Arnon to the Jabbok, and from the wilderness to the Jordan. So then the Lord, the God of Israel, dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And are you to take possession of them? Will you not possess what Chemosh, your God, gives you to possess? And all that the Lord our God has dispossessed before us, we will possess. Now are you any better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever contend against Israel, or did he ever go to war with them? While Israel lived in the Heshbon and its villages, and in Aroer and its villages, and in all the cities that are on the banks of the Arnon, 300 years, why did you not deliver them within that time? I, therefore, have not sinned against you, and you do me wrong by making war on me. The Lord, the judge, decide this day between the people of Israel and the people of Ammon." But the king of the Ammonites did not listen to the words of Jephthah that he sent to him. All right, so before diving into our passage today, let me give a quick recap of last Thursday's Devo. That's where we last left off in the book of Judges, because I think that'll help give us a little bit of background on today's passage. As we have seen again and again in the book of Judges, the people of Israel have once again disobeyed God. Chapter 10, verse 6 says, "The people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord by worshiping idols and the gods of other nations. Therefore, the Lord allowed the surrounding nations, specifically the Philistines and the Ammonites, to crush and oppress Israel." The people of Israel actually cry out to the Lord, but he basically says, "You guys keep forsaking me and choose to follow other gods. So, you know what? Let those other gods save you." But of course, as harsh as that might sound, God doesn't stay that way forever. It says in chapter 10, verse 16, that God became impatient over the misery of Israel, as in he couldn't bear their suffering any longer. And so he's coming around to help, which is perfect timing, because at the end of chapter 10, we read that the Ammonites are encamped in a region called Gilead to attack the Israelites. And that's where we get to today's passage. The Ammonites are basically right on the border, ready to attack this region of Israel called Gilead. Now, at the very beginning of our passage today, we're introduced to the newest judge, Jephthah. Jephthah is described as a Gileadite and a mighty warrior, two details that are perfect for the predicament Israel finds itself in, given that the enemy is at Gilead's doorstep and that Israel needs military help. But then we read another detail. We read that he was the son of a prostitute. And because of this, his half-brothers eventually drive him out of the home, claiming that he has no right to inheritance. And so he lives in the land of Tob among other worthless fellows, which you could probably take as people who have also been rejected for various reasons, and those people have now chosen to follow Jephthah. Fast forward a little bit, and the Ammonites are at war with Israel, and, well, the Israelites must be struggling because, despite having rejected Jephthah, they now go seek him out and ask him to be their leader. In the end, Jephthah agrees to go with them, and he says, "If you bring me home again to fight against the Ammonites, and the Lord gives them over to me, I will be your head." And so he goes. The bulk of this passage is mostly pre-battle negotiations between Jephthah and the Ammonite king. And for time's sake, I won't get into all of that today. It's really just a recap of the people of Israel and coming from Exodus into the Promised Land. But again, I won't go into any more detail than that. But I think we could say a few different things about Jephthah. We could talk about how God used him to, despite his humble background, or how God redeemed his situation, you know, his rejection. And I think those would be valid conclusions and lessons to learn from today. But as I was preparing this Devo, I, for some reason, couldn't help but be reminded of Jesus. Like Jephthah, we know that Jesus was repeatedly rejected. Though he was the only one who could save the world from sin and destruction and despair, the world rejected him and knew him not. Yet even still, all who return to him and call upon his name and make him Lord, Savior, and King will be saved. Maybe you're starting to see the parallels here. Now, obviously, this isn't a perfect comparison or parallel for many reasons. Jephthah is not the Savior, and even he acknowledges that. He acknowledges that any victory would come from the Lord, as he says in verse 9. And we will see tomorrow, in tomorrow's passage, that Jephthah is far from a perfect man. But at least from the perspective of the rest of the Israelites in today's passage, I think this parallel between Jephthah and Jesus makes a lot of sense. The people of Israel, the elders of Gilead, they had once rejected Jephthah, but then they had to then humble themselves, turn away from their self-righteousness and self-dependence, and turn to the one who actually could save them. This humbling and turning to our one true King is certainly part of coming to the faith. In fact, that's repentance, essentially, and that is central to the faith. But it's also meant to be, this act is also meant to be a regularly occurring thing, largely because our hearts are so prone to wander, even moment by moment. It must be a regular practice of returning to the Lord, of humbling ourselves, and going to the one who can truly save. And so today, as we reflect on these parallels, I want to ask, in what ways have you been rejecting Jesus and ultimately relying on your own strength? You know, that's what the people of Gilead were basically doing. They rejected Jephthah and thought that they could figure things out on their own. So in what ways are you rejecting Jesus and relying on your own strength? Are there certain areas of your life where you have been doing this? As the Holy Spirit convicts your heart today, let's come before the Lord and make him the rightful leader of our hearts. Even if you may have rejected Jesus in some way before, maybe even just very recently, let's come before him knowing that he is a gracious and forgiving God. And today let's choose to follow him. Let's once again knock off the other things that may be acting as a throne, the king on the throne of your heart, and instead allow Jesus to take his rightful place there. Let's humble ourselves, submit to him, and follow him as our Lord, our Savior, and our King. With this, let me pray for us. Lord God, we thank you for this passage. And again, Lord, this man Jephthah, we know is not a perfect man. But Lord, we are reminded today of what it takes to truly be saved. It requires humility and turning to the one who can truly save. Lord, forgive us for the times we may have rejected you. Forgive us for the times when we relied or tried to rely on our own strength, our own abilities, or our own sense of control. Forgive us for denying you and rejecting you because maybe we didn't like certain aspects of what it means to follow you. But Father, we come to you and ask that you would help us to have that humility. And we want to place our trust in you, knowing that you're the only one who can truly save us, that you are the rightful leader and king of our lives. So today, God, we surrender our lives to you, and we want to follow you where you lead us. Thank you that you are a good God and a good king. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.